In this hour, we've often shared sorrow and grief, but this morning, let me share with you good news. The Eddings baby came last night, and his name, Brian Wesley, weighing a little over 8 pounds, and the mother and baby are doing fine, and Dr. Eddings is still floating around on cloud 7. We're also happy to note that Bill Stillman's father is maintaining his own after a very severe hemorrhage, and the doctors are giving some encouragement. Apparently, he's come out of a coma, and now they're hopeful that he may survive. We want to remember them in our prayer. May we now pray together. Whither shall we go from thy spirit, O Lord God Almighty? Or whither shall we flee from thy presence? There is no hiding place from thee. If we seek refuge in books, thou art there. If we fill the hours with church work, we cannot escape thee. O Lord, let us run no more from thee, but hold us for this moment in thy hands, to make us quiet and still. Heal the fever of our business, and make us know that thou and thou alone art God. Forgive us of our neglect of worship and the wrongs we have done to others. Forgive us of our lack of faith and the abuse we've made of others. Warm our hearts with thine everlasting love, that we may love others and be kind and thoughtful of them. Shape us in the likeness of Jesus, thy Holy Son, and enable us to be worthy brothers of his. Today we rejoice with the Eddings in the birth of their son, and pray he will be a blessing to them and to all with whom he lives. We pray for the Stillmans, that thou will spare the father for a life of usefulness and service. Be with Dr. Binkley and all others of our seminary. Bind us together that we may honor and serve thee in this place. Bless those who share this hour with us today, and bless the efforts of the Crusade of Americas. Make us strong in thy service, and give us a willing and obedient mind, that thy kingdom may come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For in Jesus' name we make our prayer. Amen. Our hymn is 458, Christ for the World We Sing. For some time I have coveted the opportunity of learning more about the revival that has come in Brazil and is now the inspiration for the Crusades of Americas. I have known Herbert Baker, the son of missionaries to Brazil, and for many years Mr. Baker kept in touch with the work there, and so some time ago I asked him if he would come and share with us something of what has happened down there in that great country, and give us something of the background and the inspiration of the Crusade of Americas. I was delighted when he accepted the invitation. Then a few days ago he said, I've got a surprise for you. I have a very dear friend from Brazil who shared in this work, and I would like to invite him to come over and speak to you. So of course we were delighted with that, and then yet another bonus came when he brought an old friend of our seminary, Mr. Harold Charley, who has studied here at our seminary, and we've asked him if he will give the closing prayer after the morning message. We're delighted to have these friends from Brazil worship with us. They brought also other friends, Mr. Hill from Burlington and Dr. Ms. Langston from Campbell have come over, and others to come and share this great day with us. And now we recognize Mr. Baker.
Thank you, Dr. Blackmore. I could take all of our time in telling you about your guest speaker this morning, but this I will not do, for I want you to hear him. I think if I had to choose one man that I would call Mr. Baptist of Brazil, it would be my friend David Lopez. A native of Brazil, a graduate of our seminary in Rio de Janeiro, a student at Southwestern Seminary, he's traveled the length and breadth of his great land by jet plane, by train, by bus, by automobile, by canoe, by foot, on mule, any way and every way you can travel in Brazil, David has traveled. For 14 years, he was secretary of the Home Mission Board. Under his fine leadership, 330 missionaries are at work now in the vast interior of Brazil, carrying the banner of Christ. David gave up this work a few months ago because he felt that God wanted him to establish a new church right downtown, two or three blocks from the main street of Rio de Janeiro, in an area where there is no church, in a city of 4.5 million people. It takes a man to do this kind of thing, to dream the great dream, to have faith to make it realized. He's known also throughout Latin America as a man who for years has been on the radio with the Bible School of the Air. I'm happy that God has brought him our way today. Shall we prayerfully listen to David as he leads us in worship now?
Thank you, Brother Herbert. Thank you, Brother Blackwood, for this time I have now together with my dear friends at this great seminary. And I must tell you, in 65, when I crossed at this door, I much desired to enter. But I was in a Greyhound bus that wouldn't stop, so I had to go thinking about you and hoping that the day would come so I could come and present to you a message and a part of the love of our hearts. And I'm thankful to God for this moment. Only one thing is against me, and this is time. But I understand this, being on the radio for 20 years. I know how is time and how precious time is, so I will be on the time allowed to me at this moment. I want to tell you that speaking to seminary students is talking about the hope of Jesus in the world today. And speaking to seminary students in the United States of America, it means that I'm talking to men that have more responsibilities than any other kind of men over the world today. Nobody can do one thing in America without affecting the world. What you do here affects the world. Sometimes some of you men says about the your president going to such a place and to that place and involving America in this or that. Well, there's no way of doing a work today without involving America. One of our leaders, journalists in Brazil, she writing in a paper when that thing of dollar going up or down was being discussed in Europe, she wrote an article and she said, when something happens to the dollar, we tremble. She is not a Christian. And yet she felt the importance of America in the world today in all respects. Well, Jesus has a great hope for the world, but his hope is on our shoulders. And I'm speaking here in America these days. I have mentioned several times the Crusade of Americas and this work we are endeavored to do together. And this is a trying time when we are just uniting efforts to enlist men to know about the love of Jesus Christ. And I'm very happy that I've been finding in North Carolina a deep interest in the Crusade of America. Last night we had a tremendous meeting with several pastors and several churches represented, and I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit with us in that meeting. And I pray that the Lord might use you powerfully during these coming weeks so that many souls may be born into his kingdom for the benefit of them and for the good of the world. Brazil puzzles me. Brazil makes me more and more impressed with an urgent need to do something to save the souls of men in Brazil. You just think that in 10 years' time, Brazil has grown 30 million population. We're going to be 90 million population next year. And this is about 3 million a year. And in 10 years, the Baptist forces of Brazil has not grown 200,000 Baptists. But the population has grown 30 million in 10 years' time. Brazil is a country where you never know how the thing is, because when you think you have the figures, you lost them because 25 hours have passed. So we grow, and our responsibility grows more and more. I'm speaking to students, to men that God has called to preach the word. And I want to inquire of you, what do you think is a gospel? What is a gospel? We speak about preaching the gospel. What is a gospel? What do you mean by the word gospel? When you come to the New Testament, you find that the word gospel appears over 60 times. And you discovered, however, that Paul was the man that used the word gospel more times than any other people. You discover, for instance, that the Gospel of Luke don't have the word gospel a single time written, even though he has the verb to preach, but not the word gospel. When you read John in his gospel and in his epistles and in the book of Revelation, you find that John did not speak the word gospel. He mentioned the word gospel only one time, and this is in the book of Revelation when he talks about the eternal gospel. What is the gospel? In his letter to the Galatians, Paul speaks about the gospel that was preached unto Abraham. But when you come to the book of Mark, you read the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Well, if Abraham had the gospel, how could Mark write that the beginning of the gospel was when Jesus came? When you take the letters to the Ephesians, the first chapter, the third and the fourth verse, you find out that it is said something about the time when God chose us before the foundation of the world to be sanctified unto him. Well, if he chose us before the foundation of the world, it shows that before the foundation of the world, there was grace. Abounding grace, saving grace. And God, because of his grace, he has chosen us. We did not choose him, he chosen us. You did not ask God to call you to be preachers. He called you. He called you because he wanted. He could have called many millions others that he didn't call to preach. But he called you for a definite purpose. What did he call us for? He called us to preach the gospel. This gospel that has been in the world before the world was created, because grace is eternal. Now you listen to me as I read few words here in the Gospel of Mark. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John. And immediately the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he stayed in the wilderness 40 days. And after John was arrested, he came into Galilee preaching the gospel and saying, "The time is completed. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, ye." And passing along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother. And Jesus said unto them, "Come unto me and be my disciples." And he went a little farther, and he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. And he called them. And immediately they followed him. And he went to the synagogue, and he began to teach. Just at that time there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And Jesus rebuked the spirit, and the man was healed. And at once he left the synagogue and went into the house of Simon Peter. And Simon's mother-in-law had fever, and he took her by her hand. And she raised up, and she was healed. And he cured many who were afflicted with diseases. And he said unto them, let us not be going to the neighborhood country, because I want to preach them also. And he went throughout the whole of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues, and teaching them, and cleaning the wounds with evil spirit. And being moved with pity and sympathy, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man that came to him with leper. And at once that leprosy went out and the man was cleaned. And Jesus returned to Capernaum. And they came bringing a paralytic unto him. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, son, your sins are forgiven. And the man was made whole. And Jesus went out again unto the seashore, and the multitude came to hear him, and he kept teaching them. And as he was passing by, he saw Levi, and he said, come and be my disciple, follow me. And he came, and he gave him a party, and he came to be with him. And many tax collectors came to that party. Again, Jesus went back to the synagogue and he started teaching them. And he said unto them, a sower has left to sow. And he went on telling about sowing. And again, he came by the beside the lake, and a great crowd gathered around him. Well, this is Jesus. When you look at him, it's like the gospel going around, the gospel going around. Jesus, the gospel, incarnated in him, and he goes around. Where he is, the gospel is. Where he sits, the gospel sits. Where he stands, the gospel stands. When he speaks, the gospel is spoken. And that's why you see that he came out teaching and healing and preaching. You can read the book of Mark and you'll never find Jesus but walking and doing the work of God. And one day he called his ones and he said, I want to know what you think about me. Who am I? And when he found out, they said, thou art the Christ. He said, well, I'm glad you said that, but I'm going to die for you. And the day came when a very important thing, very sad thing happened into this world. They led him to Golgotha, Calvary, meaning the place of the skull. And they gave him wine mingled with myrrh. And there they crucified him. The gospel died. This was a time when all hopes of men were died. The gospel died. No good news. He has been nailed on the cross. He is dead. We don't have a gospel. Everybody fled away. All the 12 fled away. There's no hope. And yet, you come to the last chapter of Mark, and you read this. And Jesus, having been risen from the dead, early on the first day, he appeared. He appeared first to Mary of Magdalene, and then he appeared to two men going on the road. And then he appeared before the 11, and he told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Come here, Shelley. Please. Jesus had those 11 men. He was the gospel among us, and he looked at those men. He was leaving the earth, and he was still suffering for the souls of men unsaved. He took them and he said, take the gospel. You go and preach the gospel. I am going away to heaven. I have a light to put in your hand, the only light that will save men from their sin. You go, preach the gospel. And this is what happens. Thank you, Charlie. This is what happened. They went out and they preached everywhere. And the Lord kept working with them. They asked me last year for an article of what I thought should be the most important matter for Brazilian Baptists to know. I wrote a fourth of a column article with the title, Preach the Word. And I told them, I've seen men that are thinking in terms of philosophy, in terms of law courses, in terms of this and in terms of that. But I've seen few men that are eager to read this Bible and to eat it up and to digest it and to understand it and to seek for the miracles there are inside of this book and to believe it and to share it with others and to bring it people unto the knowledge of Christ. And this is what we need in this crusade of America. We don't need to preach anybody's book. We need to preach this book. This is the treasure of our hearts. This is the salvation of man. This is the only thing I can do a little bit. When I started that church downtown of Rio, the only church downtown of Rio with 1 million people crossing our doors, the only church, we bought a building for $55,000. I didn't have but $1,000. I needed to raise 100 million crusades to pay that building. And I called them to my radio audience, well, I want a church downtown of Rio. We made all the advertising we could. 20 people present themselves to organize a church. 20 people who could believe. We started the church. We've been seeing miracles over miracles just about every day. We have a prayer meeting daily there, and people come from different churches, an average of 15 churches a day, to pray at noon. In the heart of Rio, for Brazil, for the world. Last 10th of November, I came from São Paulo early in the morning. I went to São Paulo on the 9th of December to preach to young people, to call them to preach. And the Lord called more than 40 that night in São Paulo. But I had a long time, and so I came to the hotel after midnight and had to catch the first plane to be in my church early Sunday morning. And I had a hard day. I preached the whole day. I went to the preaching points. We have 3 Sunday schools in the afternoon. I want to see people. We want to reach people. And I didn't have any time to rest. At night, I felt tired. And I have my radio session every night at 9:35 in a big station in Rio. So I thought, I will give the benediction. And I'll have 15 minutes rest before I go to the radio. I gave the benediction, and as I gave the benediction, my daughter, who is the pianist of the church, started playing the postludio. And when she started playing, one fellow got up and said, man, I will not go home without Jesus. And everybody looked up, and that fellow came down crying in tears. He said, this is the first time I ever entered the church. I have never been in a church. Well, that afternoon I had met that man on the street, And I told him, come to hear me tonight. He said, to hear what? I said, I'm going to tell a story. You come to hear me. He said, where are you going to tell the story? I said, I'm going to tell the story at that greenhouse downtown over here. You just come. He came. I didn't see he had come. So many people come. And he said, I won't go home without Jesus. He came down crying, his cheeks full of shit. And when he came, four other people got up and they came down following him. And I said, well, I have already rested. The Lord is here. On the 31st of December, before I baptized that man, I called them and 15 others for prayer before entering the baptistry. And I said, I want you to say a prayer. And he said, Pastor, I cannot pray yet. I said, well, God is your Father now. You just speak to God as your Father. And he said, is this? Well, then I'll try. And he started like that. Oh, God, my Father, I want to ask you to save my family. They live in North Brazil. They don't know anything. I want you to save my family. What a treasure the gospel he gave to us. This is your joy, to preach the gospel, to bring his kingdom down. It doesn't matter how much you have. It doesn't matter how much the church is going to pay you, how much the Christians will give you. It doesn't count. What really counts is to feel his hands holding your hands and your hand grasping into his hand, proclaiming before a dying world the life of this gospel. May he bless you.
Let us stand, please. We thank you, Lord, for the gospel that has touched our hearts and has changed us, has brought us into thy kingdom, and has also put thy kingdom into our hearts. We thank thee for this deep experience, this eternal and permanent blessing, the most wonderful thing that a person can experience. We thank thee that thou hast called us also to share this gospel with many of those that do not know thee. Help us to be faithful to thy calling. Help us to communicate to our fellow men here and in all the world the greatest blessing that a person can experience, a blessing that will stay with him through this life and through all eternity. Bless this institution, bless the student body and the faculty, that we may all be faithful to thy calling and may correspond to the confidence that you and the people that love thee have deposited in us. For we ask thee in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.